We've been, for the last over a month now, have been going through various characteristics of a healthy church. One of the reasons why I felt this is important is that it's important to Jesus. As he had a dialogue with the Apostle Peter, proclaiming to him the foundation that he would be to the church and the importance that he would be as a leader in the church, he said, and he actually gave him a new name from Simon to Peter, saying, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And if, of course, Peter played a prominent role in the building of the church, but ultimately Jesus said that it is my church. And when you look at Scripture, you see very quickly that though we have a personal relationship with God and that we come to God in faith as individuals, the church plays a prominent role in the life of a believer. And in fact, we were never designed to just go it alone. We were designed to come together as a church body to worship him and serve him. And so last week, we had gone through what it means to, or actually it's 2 weeks ago because we had our missions conference last week, but we talked about worship and what that means. And we looked at John 4:24 and the encounter that Jesus had with a woman from Samaria, the Samaritan woman, and he met her at the well and promised her that he could give her living water. And in the course of the conversation, she brought up the fact that those of my people, we worship on this mountain, but you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, well, salvation is from the Jews, but at a point very soon, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So it'll no longer be about the place where you worship, but the fact that we will worship God in spirit and in truth. And in terms of unpacking what it means to worship God in spirit and truth, we discussed the fact that our worship now is Christ-centric, focused on the person of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. It's gospel-centered, it's Christ-centered, it's cross-centered, and we seek to worship then our risen Lord and Savior. And then I closed with this quote from Louis Giglio, who said, "Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who he is and what he has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live." And so our worship of Christ, being centered on Christ, we thank him for all that he's done for us, who he is and what he's done. But ultimately, it also is expressed in the things that we say and the way that we live. And so it's something that should bring a change to our lives. And so that's what we discussed the last time in terms of worship. And today we're going to kind of continue on in that line and discuss what it means to have biblical prayer. Now, one of the quotes that I often like to use when I give a class or workshop on prayer is one from Martin Luther, the great reformer. Founder of the Lutheran Church, but actually his church was never named Lutheran Church. His church was formed, the church that he formed was basically came out of the Catholic Church. He never desired to leave the Catholic Church, but his church was actually called, I think in German, the Evangelical Church. For some reason, as the church, the Lutheran Church, the Evangelical Church migrated to places like America, it became Lutheran Church. But that's the Luther I'm talking about, and he has written, "I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." And I can say that this always brings conviction because I'm like, 3 hours in prayer? Who has time for 3 hours in prayer? But the good news is, and what we're going to talk about today, is that the prayer that we're called to focus on in church as a church body isn't necessarily individual prayer, though that is good and that is something that we can talk about another time. But the prayer that we're talking about today is a prayer that's focused on prayer as a church body. And we see that in Acts 2:42. We actually discussed this verse previously when we were talking about biblical membership and the fact that the early church came together, they were committed to one another, and they were committed to these things that we will read about. So let's read this together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And so previously we had discussed that the early disciples were about these things. They met regularly. They devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to gathering with one another, to breaking of bread, much as we're doing now, but even in the context of a meal and fellowship, and to prayer. But you notice here that it's they. It's not I, it's they. They came together as a church body, and one of the important things that they devoted themselves to was prayer. And on the International Missions Board site, which gives these 12 characteristics, they write, "Private prayer is essential but insufficient. A healthy church not only prays, but prays for one another." And so that is why most churches have different mechanisms that we can not just encourage prayer, individual prayer, but that we have time that we can pray for one another. And a lot of churches, historically in the U.S. anyway, have had Wednesday prayer meetings, and that's the time that churches could gather together to pray. I know that in the church that I was part of back in my hometown in Milwaukee, we had Wednesday prayer meeting. But the interesting thing was it was actually more of another service than a prayer meeting. They had worship songs, they had a message, and then we spent a little time in prayer. But actually, the prayer meetings that I enjoy the most and how we have it structured here at our church is that we spend most of the time sharing various prayer requests for the church, but also for each other. And so the focus then is actually on prayer. And then we see Luke, as he writes, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, breaking bread and prayer. So what does this mean by devoted themselves? And so the word devote, the meaning that we see from the Greek word is to show steadfast strength, prevailing strength, to consistently showing strength which prevails in spite of difficulties, to endure, remain firm, staying in a fixed direction. And so we see here the word strength is used a lot, that we need steadfast strength, prevailing strength, strength that prevails. And so we see that even in spite of the difficulties in life, the distractions that we can have, we're called to be devoted to one another and be devoted to these things that God has calling us to, the Word of God, the breaking of bread, and ultimately through prayer. And sometimes I think that is why we need each other in prayer. It can be difficult sometimes to maybe pray. Maybe things aren't just going very well in our lives. And at that time that we actually need prayer the most, it might be the most difficult time to pray. But when we have each other and we can come alongside each other, praying through the difficult times, being steadfast, spending time enduring, remaining firm in spite of difficulties, focusing ourselves in that way, we can then stand strong through the storms of life, because life is and can be difficult. We can have lots of distractions, but indeed we're called to focus in this case, as we're talking about today, on prayer. And sometimes that can be difficult in and of ourselves, but when we come together, we can be strong and prevailing and regain our focus. And then as it goes on, as we've seen, they've devoted themselves to these various things and to prayer. And again, prayer then is one of these important pillars of our faith, and not only of our faith, but also of our life in church. And a healthy church should have a characteristic and an ethos, a culture of prayer. And as I was researching this, I came across an article. And I think it was actually from a mom's prayer website. I'm not a mom, but I was researching, and it was a good article. And so there's actually 5 reasons to pray for others, and I thought these were really good reasons, and so I wanted to kind of unpack that a little bit. And it's by a sister who's part of that organization, Sharon Gamble. And the first thing that she writes is that we pray a reason that we pray for one another is focus, that praying helps us focus. Now, I don't need you to raise your hands, but I think if I've spoke with most of you and asked you when you pray, how focused are you in your prayer? And well, hopefully some of you are more focused than others, but I think when we do pray, when we seek to come before the Lord, it's very easy for distractions to come into our mind, and we begin to think about a lot of different things, and those things should actually help bring us back to pray, but sometimes those things just begin to overwhelm our thoughts and our minds, and then we focus on those, and then we may actually begin to engage in those things rather than focusing on prayer. And so, but when someone else is listening, even though we don't have to be so profound in our prayers, but when we're praying with someone else, when we're praying with others, that I think can help us to kind of remove those distractions and help us to then as a group or as a small group, maybe one other person, or as a bigger group, it helps us to regain our focus into that what is important. And in fact, that was one of the definitions of devotion, is to regain, to have a focus on something. So focus is a reason to pray for one another. A second thing is presence. The presence of others when we're praying, I think, can be enormously comforting. We realize that we're not alone, and that there's others who are lifting us up and helping us through the difficulties that we may face. And maybe if we're going through a good time, well, that's fine. But then we can be the person then that can come alongside someone else and to pray for their needs and to pray for their family and to pray for the issues that are going on in our church body. So just having that presence next to us can, I think, encourage us in our prayer life. Another reason to pray for others is insight. And Sharon writes, "No one has all the answers or insights or questions. To pray with one another is to hear her heart on an issue, and you discover new ways of viewing hard situations." And I think that can often happen when we're praying for one another. We may have lost some perspective, but as we're praying through the prayers, that may give us new insights. But even as we're sharing with someone our prayer request, they may have an insight or a perspective that we may not have, and that can maybe just kind of turn on the lights in our head of a new approach that we should take, or maybe even a different mindset that we can have, or another approach to a situation. And that can happen, I think, because we're actually with each other in prayer, that we can feel each other's presence and we can take comfort in that as we come before the Lord. The fourth reason to pray that she lists is obedience, and basically we're called to pray, and we're called to be devoted to one another in prayer, and we're called, if we're sick, to call the elders of the church to pray for us. And there's many verses that encourage us to pray and calls us to pray. The Bible urges people to pray together in community, and the early church did this all the time. And that's why we have a verse like Acts 2:42 that gives the example of the priority of the early church, and part of that priority is prayer. God knows that we need each other and that we are called the body of Christ, and each is important to the whole. And as we come together in prayer, I think that we can have strength. And then finally, and related, is community. Praying with others builds a bond that goes deep into our soul. We can chat about inconsequential things, and it's not necessarily wrong to be chatting about things like the weather and how things are going in our lives in different ways on a superficial level. But I think that as we come together to pray, that helps us to bring maybe a little bit more a seriousness into our conversation. Because if someone has prayer, of course we want to uphold them in prayer, and we want to lift them before the throne of God. And so when we do that, we can grow closer to one another and more committed to one another as we focus our heart and attention on God. And so these are the five reasons to pray for one another, to have focus, presence, insight, obedience, and community. And when we are praying for one another and we're doing this regularly, I think that can help us to grow and to be part of a healthy church that grows and flourishes. And so what are some lessons that we can learn here in our from this passage? And I think there are several. And one is that we can pray with the church. And as I said, we have, as many churches do, Wednesday night prayer meeting. And it's a time that we can gather together to pray with each other and for each other and with the church. And actually, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, I think, in the American church in general is becoming kind of a dinosaur. I think still there's a lot of Baptist churches that have prayer meetings, but even Baptist churches are moving more to a small group model. And so it's believers that are meeting together throughout the week. And so I think that there can be other ways that we can pray as a group. But I think our church thought from the very beginning that it was important that we gather together in prayer. And so we have this meeting. But also, as you know, many of you know, I send out, and Pastor Kuming and I every week send out a list of prayer requests. And we know that not everyone, for various reasons, can come out on a Wednesday evening. But our hope is, and our prayer is, that everyone can take a look through the prayer requests that we have, and that maybe you can pray for those as part of your own devotional life or with your family. And in a sense, then you're gathering together maybe spiritually with the church, being united in prayer. There's a type of prayer, and this is a little bit different, but there's a prayer called Divine Hours, or Liturgy of the Hours. And this is something that kind of goes back in the Catholic and Orthodox churches centuries upon centuries, or even millennia. And it's kind of based on Daniel's prayer, that Daniel, we see even under the threat of death, he prayed at the window, and he prayed three times a day. And this Liturgy of the Hours, or Divine Hours, is praying at specific, the church or people coming together at different points of the day and praying. So there's morning prayers, and there's afternoon prayers, there's evening prayers, there's night prayers. And a lot of monasteries that have monks, they kind of order their day on this, but it's actually for everyone. And there's prayer books, and then there's scriptures and some prayers like the Lord's Prayer and other type of prayers that you can kind of read through. But the idea of this Liturgy of the Hours isn't so much that you're praying as an individual, but that you're spiritually praying with the global church. And so it's actually to put you in a different mindset, that you're praying these prayers together with everyone else who's praying these prayers, which could be, in fact, millions and millions of people throughout the globe. And it's not necessarily something that that evangelical churches participate in or even really know that much about, and I think I could probably do some more teaching on it. But I think the point is, and the point here is, that even if we can't come to a Wednesday prayer meeting, since we have the prayer request, we can still, in a sense, join together spiritually as a body of Christ here in West Columbia, Chinese Christian Church, and we can be praying for one another and praying for our needs. The second thing is that I think we can learn here and we can apply is pray with your fellowship. And in some senses, that this is what's kind of happened in the American church. Since the focus is not necessarily coming together on a Wednesday evening, or maybe for Chinese churches on a Friday evening, it's more about these smaller groups or fellowship groups that meet throughout the week, and we have those also here at our church. And so then what we can do is to integrate prayer time, and hopefully we can integrate prayer time into our time of fellowship. And so one of the reasons why even in the youth group we break up into small groups is not only that we can and the youth can discuss the message and gain a better understanding as they talk about the message together, but also hopefully there can be times of getting to know one another and praying for one another. And I think that this is something that hopefully should be part of our fellowship groups, that we do take time to have prayer requests and pray for one another, but also pray about some of the needs and issues that are going on with our church or going on with the church throughout the world and for missions. And so, again, it's another venue that we can hopefully utilize to pray for one another. And then lastly, I think we can pray with friends. And this would be more maybe getting together with one or two others and spending time lifting one another up and our needs. Of course, here's a couple of college students, and they're praying. And if there's a what's the joke? If there's been a people will say, well, the government's trying to eliminate or has eliminated prayer from school. But as long as there's tests, there will be prayer in school. But nonetheless, we can be encouraged to pray for one another and pray for the needs that we have. And this would be more, like I said, praying with maybe one other person. And this could be done more spur of the moment as we're talking with someone and just kind of seeing how things are going. If we see that there's a need, we can just take some time and actually pray for one another. Or it could be a little more structured. One of the things that we've done it a little bit here a while ago. I know we did it in my with our college group and in my church in Brooklyn. But there's a type of small group, kind of an accountability group called LTG or Life Transformation Group. And this group, you spend time throughout the week, during the week, reading scripture, and then you get together, and it's very simple. You discuss the scriptures that you you have decided to read, and so you just kind of have a dialogue on that. But also in the group, you have accountability, and so you kind of ask each other questions just to make sure everyone's doing well. And then also you can spend time then praying for one another. And so you can have these more structured groups, but it could also be, you know, again, a little bit less structured. You meet someone for coffee or for tea or at McDonald's or whatever, and as you just kind of share your lives, you can also take time to pray for one another. And so I think, again, we can pray at these various levels. We can pray on a church level, both meeting together, but also in communion with our church. We can pray in our fellowships and Bible studies, and we can even pray in smaller groups or accountability groups, or just taking time to pray for one another when we see that And we seek to meet each other's needs. And so through these different ways, hopefully we can begin to integrate prayer more into our lives and the lives of our church. We don't necessarily have to be at the level of Martin Luther that we're spending 3 hours or more in prayer every day. But actually, as we come together to pray with one another, I think this can actually jumpstart, hopefully, our and help give energy to our own spiritual life and our own personal prayer life. And so let's be encouraged this week to pray for one another and with one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word and for the example of the early church, for the disciples, Lord, who from the very early days of following you and after Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, were meeting together in people's homes, and they were devoting themselves to this meeting and to the Word of God and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And Lord, help us as a church to help to integrate and to grow as a church, Lord, as a community, to be a community, a church of prayer. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.